Our Bible reading this afternoon is from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to chapter 3, verse 6, on page 1202 of the Church Bibles. 1202. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet." In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again he says, "Here I am, and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory.
Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us now as we try to listen to him. Give us hearts to obey him. In his name we pray. Amen. 11 days ago, the Artemis II launched to prove that NASA could once again circle the moon with a crew. Here are some of the first flyby images of the Earth captured by the astronauts. Yep, there's that one. And I think there's one more with the rare in-space solar eclipse. Yeah, that's awesome. One of NASA's astronauts, Victor Glover, shared an inspiring off-the-cuff Easter message for the rest of the world following the cruise mission, he shared his reflections of the emptiness and vastness of the universe while looking down on Earth. He quotes, "I think maybe the distance we are from you makes you think what we're doing is special, but we are the same. And I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. You are special. In all this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing. This thing we call the universe, you have this oasis, this beautiful place that we all get to exist together." Why mention this? The Artemis II is just one of the recent examples of the specialness or greatness of humanity. It's not just space exploration. Humanity is unique. Just think of the scientific progress that we've seen in the last century. You got the Green Revolution, decoding the human genome, the COVID-19 vaccine. You got technology, AI, robotics, the internet. And then you have cultural collaborative innovation. So human rights, the United Nations, music, art, the Olympics. In all this emptiness and vastness, you have these feats of greatness only humanity could achieve. Special. But then you have Joe D. Pasquale, another employee of NASA, who worked on the James Webb Telescope. You guys might have seen these images captured by the telescope. Only instead of looking down, Joe, he was looking up into the vastness of the universe. I think there's one more slide. Yeah. It is beautiful. He quotes, "We are so insignificant. In the grand scheme of things, we are this tiny speck in an indifferent universe." Even the guy who captured these images admits that even the most advanced tools don't bring us closer to what's out there, but expose us for how little we actually are. We are that pale blue dot at the bottom of an ever-expanding universe. So you got one guy looking down into humanity and saying, "Trust me, you are special." And then the other guy looking up saying the opposite. Two incredibly talented guys from NASA who can't agree on what we are. So which is it? Who should we listen to? The question today is, are we really that special? And how should we, as Christians, think about this? Our Hebrews preacher has the answer. So if you remember our last Hebrews talk, I know it was 2 weeks ago, but there was a sci-fi opening crawl, and the Creator God is speaking of the Eternal Son becoming the enthroned Son. The Son is God's exact imprint. He's sitting at the right hand. And then below that, if you remember, we saw the angels, the ministering spirits, flames of fire. And then below the angels, you have us. If last week was God grabbing the mic and then God speaking to and of the Son, this week the Son, he clears his throat and opens his mouth to reply. And his reply is about you. His divine reply is not about the angels, it's about you, it's about humanity. This conversation is about us. Let's see if we are more than just flies on the wall. Okay, so we see the Son's reply begin with our first point. The Son makes humanity great again. The Son makes humanity great again. I think we have one more slide. Yes, great. Okay, so we're reading. "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor. Pause there. The place where someone has testified, that's Psalm 8. Okay, a psalm by King David. King David, he's looking at the sky, thinking back to Genesis 1. He looks up to the moon and the stars and the universe in his own James Webb telescope, and he thinks to himself, why would this God care for mankind, crowning them with glory and honor? David looks at the big universe, and instead of feeling insignificant, he remembers that mankind's destiny was greatness. Although lower than the angels, God made man and woman to rule with glory and honor. Kings and queens as representatives made in God's image to rule with God. Humanity is the climax of God's creation, bringing order and beauty. But you have verse 8. Slide. Yes. Verse 8, I'll read it. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. If we look at Genesis 3 and look around now, like today, that position is obviously lost. Kings and queens, that's what humanity used to be, but now humans have fallen short of what God originally planned for them. Our biggest problem, humanity's biggest problem, is that we do not fulfill that potential. Look at us. We subject nothing. Instead, subjected by everything. Cancer, heart attacks, injuries, war, corrupt leaders, natural disasters, mental illness. Humanity is angry, shameful, anxious, fearful, dishonorable, led by chaos, and bound to death. And if we stopped here, it would seem like the Hebrews preacher would agree with Joe D. Pasquale. We've imagined that we are important. It's a delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe. Thankfully, the Hebrews preacher continues into verse 9. Psalm 8 applies not just to humanity, but to the Son of Man, Jesus. And before we get there, he's been dropping clues for us from chapter 1 already. And I just want you to notice the word feet in these next slides. Yeah. So God said to the Son, this is chapter 1, verse 13. God said to the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And today's verse 7, you made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under their feet. And then finally, verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. What he's saying is this. We will be crowned with glory and honor because Jesus is the first to be crowned with glory and honor. We will have everything subjected under our feet, because he is the first to have everything subjected under his feet. The Psalm 8 prophecy of what humanity should be will be fulfilled only because Jesus is the first and already sitting there, waiting for final subjection to happen. So for us here today, verse 8 is obviously clear. We don't see everything subjected to us. We are not great. We have not fulfilled our potential. But in the greatness of the Son, He will reverse and restore our greatness. Our true identity in Psalm 8 is fulfilled by Jesus, who makes us great again. Okay, that means our sickness, those natural disasters, our wars today, whatever we are experiencing now, it's not our destiny. All that humanity was destined for, Jesus was and will be. And today, if you put your confidence in His promise, then know that your purpose is already restored by our pioneer who goes ahead of us like a forerunner. In the end of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan, C.S. Lewis' depiction of Jesus, has defeated the White Witch. And as Peter, Edmund, Susan, and Lucy walk the royal halls of Caer Paravel, they each get called by their new names, fulfilling their destiny to become kings and queens of Narnia. You got Peter the Magnificent, Edmund the Just, Susan the Valiant, and Lucy the Gentle, right next to Aslan and his throne. It's a picture of our passage here. And Jesus invites us with a new name, calls us next to His greatness, to share in His crown of glory. It's a picture of the Son making humanity great again. As His reply continues, now we'll look at how the Son is great. How the Son is great. The Son is great because He was made lower. And the Son is great because He was made lower. So verse 9 again. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what He suffered. So notice that the position of Jesus, lower than the angels for a little while, is the same position where humanity is. Only difference, Jesus is now crowned with glory. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, we said, think of the angels as these props on a set to make the main character shine. Think of them as boundary markers. These angels are boundary markers. Jesus is supreme because He is higher than the angels. Yet, He was made lower than the angels. Which means part of the Son's greatness is stooping down to the same level as humanity, His incarnation. The Son becomes human. And if that wasn't low enough, verse 9 goes even lower. If you look with me, He suffered death, tasting death for everyone. It's being made low in this way which makes the pioneer perfect. Verse 11, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, He says, I will put my trust in Him. And again, He says, here I am, and the children God has given me. His reply is not ashamed of us, stands with us. And then He does it. He becomes lower. Here I am. The immortal Son of God, born into a stable, gives up His riches, is tempted by sin, betrayed by friends, unjustly trialed, mocked, beaten, And then his lowest point. Verse 12 actually is quoting Psalm 22. Psalm 22, it's a famous psalm which Jesus quotes on the cross. You might know it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken by God. Back then, to have the Father turn his back on you was the lowest point that you could reach. That's what happened to the eternal Son, who was with the Father in a way that was so intimate and face to face that we can't imagine his agony. But it's this lowest point that God saw as fitting for the Son's triumph. And Psalm 22 ends with triumph. Jesus was made lower for a little while because he knew God would not abandon him. He knew God would crown him with glory and honor and praise on the other side. Think of the Son's heavenly journey as a U-shape. A U-shaped journey to his greatness. The eternal heavenly Son goes down, becoming the Son of Man, forsaken by the Father, but then rises, ascending and becoming the enthroned Son. For us today, we need to see the depths of where he went to and then listen to his reply, calling us brothers and sisters. By becoming lower, he is crowned with glory and honor, bringing many sons and daughters to glory. He reverses the fall. He creates something new, a new creation, a new family, a new house where we can be part of his greatness. How he makes us great is now fleshed out. This is the last part of the Son's reply. This is how he makes us great. The Son made lower is what makes us great. The Son made lower is what makes us great. Okay, so verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. So if you remember Psalm 8, our greatness went wrong in Genesis 3. That's when death entered the world. And the devil, the accuser, he gained his power because of sin. When humanity rejects God, that's the beginning of the devil's power. He dangles our guilt in front of us. He knows our verdict is guilty, and that verdict is death. Our sin is a fact. Death is a fact. And so death is a divine judgment for sin. And it's got power over us. And that leads to the fear of death. It's that dark shadow that looms over every moment. It's the thing that stops us from fulfilling our great potential. A reminder that life has a sting. Verse 17, it's for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So by stepping lower into our broken humanity, becoming our brother to death, he takes the curse on himself and sin is forgiven. Our guilt was nailed to our brother who died. He bore our judgment and wrath. God pours it on him, the judgment for sin. That word, atonement, literally means satisfying the Father's justice. It's the only way we can be made holy, brought up into the same family. That's how Jesus helps us. Like a merciful high priest. A priest back then, they did many things, but their main job was to help the people. And that word means to take hold of us. So when the devil takes hold of us, uses our sin to make death a doorway into hell, the Son swoops down, takes hold of us through and past that door into our greatness, back to what God made us for. It's like an episode of Undercover Boss. The chairman sends his CEO undercover, the Son himself. He goes all the way down to the basement where we are, scrubs the floors for us, cleans the toilets for us. He helps us to the point of getting fired for us. And at the end of the episode, the Son reveals himself and is promoted to the highest seat of the company. And when he ascends back to the board of directors, he brings us with him. You get a promotion, and you get a promotion. We started from the bottom, now we're here, only because he started from the top, went to the bottom, and now we're here. What does that mean for us today? I think it's perfectly summed up in our last few verses. So just the last few verses, chapter 3, verse 1. Please read with me. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. And then if we skip to verse 6, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. If this is the Son's reply, listening to it looks like accepting this call, this invitation. If you are not a Christian here today, the Son was made lower to make you his brother and sister. Come be part of his house. For the Christian here, today, listening looks like fixing your thoughts on the Son who saw your brokenness, saw our brokenness, yet lowered himself down to make us great again. Listening looks like acknowledging that heavenly call and putting your confidence in that, not our own specialness. One NASA employee says, I'm trying to tell you, you just trust me, you are special, you are special. And the other says, we are insignificant. Who do we listen to? We are definitely far from what Psalm 8 reflects. We do not have everything subjected under our feet. But if we listen to the Son's reply about us, in this whole cosmic timeline, we'll see we are special, but not because of our shared human experience, not because of this pale blue dot or how we are going to get through this all together. It's not about us. We are special because of him. We are special because of the greatness of the Son and what he has done. He makes humanity great again. By becoming lower to death, he brings us up with him. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Because of him, we don't need to fear death. And we really do have hope of a new life, our greatness once again, back to what you intended for us to be, rulers with crowns. Pray, Father, as we hear your Son's voice today, help us to fix our thoughts on him. Amen.